Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
I'm always so happy when the technology works.
Yes.
It comes and it goes, and I know they had major outages on the East Coast yesterday, up and down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, major internet outages, huge
ones. Huh.
And I know yesterday I was participating in the virtual Miracle Share conference, and they were having all kinds of technical issues.
Huh.
And you're going to do your class with them tomorrow?
Tomorrow at the same time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was the last speaker they had in the Miracle Share conference. And if anybody's looking for that, I think they have 30 teachers or something. They have quite a lot of teachers. It's a paid program, and you can access it through the events page at jenniferhadley.com. It's the Miracle Share conference. Or, Alan, I'm sure you have something on your website about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a fun thing. We do these videos. We do video recordings, and then we do a live Q&A. And so I was the last one of the night last night, and they were pretty much like, whew, we're just glad to have made it through this day. So, there was major internet things happening here. Now, I'm going to mention, Alan, so I'm on an island off the coast of Maine, and you're on the big island of Hawaii.
Yes.
So we got two islands many thousands of miles apart here, and here we are coming together, transcending time and space to remember the truth.
Thank God for technology. It's in our service.
It is, and I really give thanks for it every day because it allows us to work in these and live in these remote locations and to be able to connect with people all over the world, and that's a really beautiful, wonderful thing.
Yep.
And so we're going to start this class in just a few minutes. I'd like to give everybody a chance to come on the line, get settled, and be able to focus in on the class. And so as we're getting started here, people are joining us. I would love to ask you, just as we're getting started, what are some of the other things that you have coming up that people might be interested in to participate in?
Well, as you know, Jennifer, you and I will be sharing a conference in December.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my Miracles in Paradise retreat on the Big Island of Hawaii for 5 days, December 5 to 10. And I will be the primary in-person presenter, but we have some awesome guest presenters, including you and Judith Whitson and John Mundy and Larry Glenn's, popping in via Skype for an hour or two. So I'd love to have people join us and it can be with you and me simultaneously once again.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. And so it's 5 days. What are the dates in December?
December 5 to 10. And it's at a lovely, gorgeous hotel right on one of the nicest beaches in Hawaii. So it'll be an amazing opportunity for a great spiritual awakening retreat on the Course in Miracles, plus a Hawaiian vacation. So it doesn't get any better than that, really.
It doesn't. It for sure doesn't. I've done a couple of retreats on the Big Island myself, and to be able to come together in paradise to remember the truth. And just to be the two or more who are gathered in person is always astounding. Yeah. Another thing I'd like to bring up is that I feel so important about the work you do, Alan, is that you train coaches.
Yeah.
And I train people, too. So I just think that the more people who can be inspired to have professions as light workers, the better. So can you just take a few minutes and tell us about your program?
Well, we get a lot of people who say, I want to help and I want to earn a living doing something I love and I'm passionate about. So about 7 years ago, I created this life coach training program based on holistic and miracles principles. And it's been an extraordinary success. We do like 2 or 3 sessions a year. We take only about 16 or 18 people. And we train people to be a professional life coach that you can do full-time or part-time or just use the principles in your current profession or personal life. And we've had huge transformations in the lives of the coaches. And, of course, it ripples out to lots of other folks. So it's a great way for folks to step into their power and claim a career that rewards them, not just spiritually and materially. So we're starting our next session in January. We have just a handful of spots left, maybe 2 or 3 open. So if anybody wants to play with me for 6 months in a very intimate life coach training program, go to my website, alancohen.com.
Wonderful. And we'll talk about your book, A Course in Miracles Made Easy, which is a great book. I highly recommend it to everybody who's listening. Whether you're a longtime Course in Miracles student or not, I think you'll be interested in what Alan shares. He's a great storyteller and really breaks it down and helps us to understand these teachings of A Course in Miracles in ways that are this eye-opening, mind-opening, heart-opening. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in the class today. And, of course, Alan's written many books and been doing this work for a long time. How long have you been a Course in Miracles student now?
Since 1979. I'm not really that old, but that's when I started.
Well, that's it. You know, not many people started when they were 10 years old. But
I started before this incarnation, actually.
Yeah, talking with David Fishman the other day, he has been doing A Course in Miracles forever. I mean, he really was one of the core people there, and hanging out with John Mundy and knew Helen Schuckman and all of that. And
it keeps getting better, Jennifer. I mean, you think you understand the course 1 year, and then you do it the next year, and it goes deeper. It only gets purer and more enlivening and more fun and more healing. So it's like nothing else I've ever seen. It just keeps running deeper.
It is the gift that keeps on giving, that's for sure. And as I say all the time, I never get tired of it. I never get bored with it.
Right. Me neither.
And I don't ever get bored or tired of talking about it, even if it seems like I'm sharing the same things over and over again. It's always thrilling to me. That connection with spirit and the truth that just is so enlivening.
Yeah. Well, you know, the best affirmation I ever heard is that the spirit within me loves to hear the truth about itself. So when we talk about the Course or any other high-minded teaching, something inside it just resonates and goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's soothing to me. Yeah, I want more of that. And so our spirit is always telling us when we stepped onto the path of truth.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, I think we are good to go here. We can begin our class. So for those of you who are new and coming on the line, I'm going to just give you a couple of things, logistics about the class here as we're about to start. So our class will be about an hour long, and as soon as we have the recording posted on the website and available for both downloading or listening to the replay, we'll send you an email so you don't have to wonder. you'll know. You don't have to keep checking. You just know when you get that email, now you can go get the download or listen to the recording. One of the things I like to tell everyone that people thank me for telling them is to make an appointment to listen again. Make an appointment with friends or loved ones to listen again, because what happens is listening the first time, you'll have ahas and insights that will literally be the falling away of blocks to love. So when you go back and re-listen to it, you will hear things that you didn't hear before, because now the blocks to them are gone. So I really encourage you to listen again. It's so worth it, and just make an appointment or a plan to listen again. I'll also mention to you, as we're talking here, last year around this time, Alan and I did another telesummit together that I was hosting called Stop Playing Small for Lightworkers. And Alan did a beautiful class on the basics of A Course in Miracles. It really, we were talking about his beautiful book, A Course in Miracles Made Easy. And that class is completely free. The transcript is posted as well. We will have transcripts for these whole series. They're being worked on as we speak. But that series, How to Stop Playing Small for Lightworkers, is on the Jennifer Hadley events page, jenniferhadley.com events page. And you can go and get all those classes, including the one with Alan, for free right now. So that's another thing. If you would like some more of me and Alan together, you can go grab that. And also, we'll talk about other resources during our class. So I think those are my announcements. One more thing is the people who have donated to help make these classes be free and to help pay for the transcripts and all the web pieces and customer service and everything, thank you for your contributions and donations. It's greatly appreciated, and it brings so much benefit. So thank you, thank you. All right, I'm going to take a breath here, and we'll begin our class officially. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. Our series is entitled, It's Time to Rise and Shine, Taking Spiritual Action. And our teacher today is the magnificent Alan Cohen, author of A Course in Miracles Made Easy and many other beautiful books. And welcome, Alan.
It's always an honor and delight to be with you, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Alan has been a guest on my radio show, my Course in Miracles radio show, which is on the Unity Network, and I have been a guest on his radio show on Hay House Radio. So I encourage you, if you hear something you really like about Alan, which how could you not today, truly, I encourage you to go to Hay House Radio and look for his radio show and get those downloads. Alan is such a practical spiritual teacher. He's fun. He's a great storyteller, and I'm sure you will enjoy that radio show. So we're going to start here, as we always do, with a prayer, and I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart and take a breath with us. As we move into gratitude, I like to place my hand on my heart to remind myself that I'm wholeheartedly here to be present to the present. So we partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, and we recognize that our true nature is already perfect, already as holy can be. We are grateful and thankful to allow ourselves to relinquish the blocks to love and to know only love, for that is what we are. We are gathering together, the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love, of the Christ, in order to remember our true identity and to be truly helpful to all of our brothers and sisters. We are grateful to dedicate ourselves to this healing conversation, open-hearted, open-minded, and available. In gratitude, we share the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen.
So it is.
And our topic with Alan today, he let me impose this topic upon him, but based on his beautiful work, it seems the ideal class for us right here today, and that is happy, healed relationships. And A Course in Miracles helps us to understand that our relationships, while they might be the most challenging part of our life, are also the greatest healing opportunity that we have. And the whole topic or the theme of our series is about taking spiritual action. And in our relationships, we often can get so bogged down because we're trying to make things happen in them. And we start to spin around because it's not working. We get stuck in these relationship loops where we're trying to coerce or manipulate or help people, and they don't want to be helped. They don't want to be manipulated. And it becomes time for us to just take a step back and to recalibrate before we try to do anything else to save or heal our relationships. And if you were going to have a program, Alan, to heal a relationship, how would you begin?
I would tell a story.
Okay.
And I just can't stop thinking about this. May I?
Yes, please.
So I was teaching in Greece, and a woman raised her hand. Her name was Georgia. And she said, for a long time, I was in an abusive relationship with a man who was very emotionally abusive. And I asked him for a divorce. And he said no. And I guess in Greece it's harder to get a divorce than it is here. So he said, well, I have to stay for a while at least. So I decided that I would give myself the love that I was missing from my husband. I would not depend on him to fill me in, so to speak. I would fill myself in, or at least know that I was filled already. So I wrote myself a love letter, and I made believe it was from a man who really worshipped me, and I said, dear Georgia, you are so hot, and you are divine, and you are delicious, and I love being with you, and you make my life fabulous, and I can't wait to be with you, and I thank God every day that you're in my life. Mm. And she wrote herself this juicy love letter, and she said, that felt so good that I did it again the next day, and the next, and the next. So I wrote myself a juicy love letter every day for a couple of weeks. She said, then my husband found one of these letters. And since it was unsigned, he thought it was from a secret lover. And he came to me waving this letter in my face saying, I can't compete with this. You can have your divorce. So this is a true story. So the idea is that she loved herself to a higher frequency, that she did not look to the outer world to fill her in. And when she changed her mental dynamic, then the world around her changed to reflect it. And as the Course always says, seek not to change the world, but seek to change your mind about the world. And the miracle is, a very cool manifestation element, is that when you change your mind about your relationships or about yourself in a relationship, automatically, without effort, struggle, pain, or sacrifice, your relationships will reconfigure to match your new consciousness. And it's as simple as that, but it takes practice.
It does. It does. That is a fabulous story. I love that story. And I want to just focus on it a little bit more because it's so helpful to us. So she changed her mind about herself through this exercise of writing these letters. And I'm hearing what you say is she came to really value herself and see herself in a new light.
Right.
And then she wasn't a vibrational match for the abusive relationship anymore.
Exactly. And Sally Compton said, it's impossible to defeat an enemy who has an outpost in your head.
Ooh.
So if somebody is abusing us emotionally, physically, verbally, sexually, in any way at all, and we continue to go along with it, there must be some place in our head that believes we have to accept it or put up with it or we're ashamed or guilty or afraid to change. And so it's really not the other person that's doing it to us. It's we who are doing it to ourselves. Now, the good news is because we accepted it, it stuck on, hung on. But when we don't, when we refuse to accept it and we rise in frequency, so then the universe has no choice but to send that person away or have them match our new frequency, and in either case, we're home free.
Right, right. And so she clearly got sent on the path of, well, now she's available for a new relationship. And I love that because I can feel as you're telling us the story, Alan, that she did not have an acrimonious divorce.
Right.
That because in her mind, she had shifted and she was ready to move on. She probably had learned to forgive herself, to forgive her husband, so
right.
that they could just uncouple in a loving way.
Beautifully said. That's a really good point. And so we all know people who have acrimonious divorces. We all know people who have harmonious divorces. So one, I guess one good message to leave with our listeners today might be that to deprogram or peel away the idea that breakups or separations or divorce of any kind has to be painful, difficult, long, and hard. That really when you have love in your heart and your intention is pure and you want to take care of everybody, you can work out any situation, whether it's a divorce or the end of a living situation or a parental situation or a child situation. You can work it out gloriously and harmoniously and organically and easily and even in a fun way because your intention is to have peace and harmony rather than conflict and enmity.
Right. So, and as you were saying before, as you change your mind about the world will change. And so that's the hardest thing for us is to really relinquish the thoughts we have that are anger, resentment, shame, and blame, and particularly when it comes to relationships. And, of course, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is relinquishing those thoughts. How do you teach people how to do the forgiveness work?
I ask them to shine the light on the belief that is keeping the painful situation in place because it only stays as long as you believe in it. And so I, as you were speaking, I was thinking of a guy I was coaching a year ago, and he said, I really, really want my life partner, and I haven't found her. And I said, well, let's see her. I said, what is it about your current situation that is more preferable than having a life partner? Or, on the other side of the coin, what is it there about having a partner that's distasteful or scary? He says, well, to be honest, I'm afraid that I would lose my individuality, my independence. I get up, I have my routine, I like to have my coffee, I like to take a walk, yada, yada. And he said, my fear is that being with a partner would restrict me or stifle me.
Mm.
I said, would you be willing to question that belief? Is it possible that you could be in a good partnership and not have to give up your happiness or freedom? And so that coaching session took a whole different tack after that because we had questioned and challenged the belief that was keeping him stuck and opened him to the possibility of how it could work. So really, that is an act of forgiveness because, in a sense, he was blaming a potential partner for stifling him even before he had one. So we had to shift that before he got anywhere, and he made progress. He's doing better now. So, you know, forgiveness is really releasing any beliefs that keep us small about the world, about God, about other people, or about ourselves. And, you know, as the Course says, you need to peel away illusions, and what's left is truth.
Yeah, and in that kind of an experience where someone really desires to be in a relationship, but they're not. Because I often encounter people who really would like to be in a relationship, they're not. And maybe they haven't been in a relationship in a long time, or their relationship experience has been really challenging and emotionally upsetting to them, and they're rebooting. What are some tools that you can give people to become available to the relationship they desire?
I ask them, have you grown since your last relationship? People have bad divorces, bad breakups, and I would say, are you the same person? I actually had a woman call in to my radio show, and she said, oh, I had a bad divorce several years ago, and she said, I've put on a lot of weight, and I want to lose the weight. And I said, how do you believe the weight serves you? She says, well, I guess on some level, I believe that I'll be less attractive to guys, so it's one way of keeping somebody out of a relationship. And I said, well, would you be willing to question the fact that you need the weight to say no to men if you're not ready for a relationship? And I said, you can just say no, really. And then I asked her, she said, well, I'm afraid I'll recreate the same relationship. And I said, well, are you the same person that you were when you got divorced? No. Are you the same person you were when you got married? Certainly not. Did you grow and learn and change through the relationship? I did. So have you done spiritual work since your divorce? Yes. So I said, you're not at all the same person you were when you got married or divorced. So would you give yourself a break and imagine that if you chose, you could create a relationship on higher ground? Mm-hmm. So this is an example, Jennifer, of us, the way we tend to freeze ourselves into past identities that we've outgrown. And we have to shine the light on that identity to recognize we're not that anymore. And what we're going to create now depends on who we become, not who we were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things you're touching upon, Alan, is this fear of getting hurt. That for a lot of people, it whether they're aware of it or not, it does seem to keep them out of relationship or out of really committing into an intimate relationship. And what do we say? How do we help them?
Well, a good question would be, who is it that's afraid of getting hurt? and who could actually be hurt?
Right.
And you know, the Course tells us that on a spiritual level, we're absolutely invulnerable, that nobody in the outside world can do anything to us that could possibly hurt who we truly are. And that's true. So if we feel like we're afraid of getting hurt, we have stepped into a false identity. We think we're small or fragile or vulnerable. There's something wrong with us. We're going to be exposed or somebody's going to cheat on us, and on and on and on. And the truth is that none of that really affects who we truly are. So, you know, the Course also says that in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And so when somebody shows up with a great big open heart and says, here I am, take me or leave me. If you want me, I'm here. If not, I'm okay anyway. That kind of spiritual innocence is extremely empowering, and it actually attracts people who will honor us because we're honoring ourselves. And it'll repel people who might hurt us because we're not identifying with somebody who could be hurt. So it takes, once again, it takes a little bit of practice. But once you drop into that wholeness, you're in a prime position to create a relationship with another person who's whole.
Mm-hmm. Because like attracts like.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who is, well, what's coming into my mind right now, Alan, is to ask you for some assistance for people who are in relationships and who have issues of jealousy.
That's a good one. I certainly felt jealous. Maybe we all have. Well, you know, the Course says that all emotions come from either love or from fear. And jealousy is a fear vibration. It's fear that I will lose someone, fear that someone, quote, better me than me might steal my partner, something like that. And so, once again, we have to really peel away the jealousy, which is a second or third order emotion, and get back to the fear that is driving. What are you really afraid of? Are you afraid that you're not lovable? Are you afraid that you don't deserve to have a partner? Are you afraid there's somebody else better than you who's going to take your partner away? And those are all tricks of the mind. Those are all lies. And behind every fear is a truth. So the way I work with fear is, okay, this is what the fear is. What is the truth behind it that you're not realizing? Well, I deserve a good partner. Well, if I have a solid relationship, nobody can steal somebody. If I know who I am, then I know what I deserve, and I know a partner I deserve, and I'll attract somebody I deserve. So really, it's once again about shining the light on illusions and dissolving them with truth and coming back to the rock-solid truth that we all deserve fabulous, intimate, rewarding, passionate, joyful, creative, ecstatic relationships. And you know, the Course says that relationship is your key to heaven. Not because somebody's going to come along and save you like we think it will, but because through a holy relationship, you rise into your true spiritual identity. And in that space, everything's taken care of. The universe has your back in that moment.
Yeah, it's such a powerful way to learn the power of love, to heal and to transcend and transmute is through relationship. And, you know, one of the things I hear frequently from people, Alan, is, and many, many times over the years, people feel like, I'm done with this relationship. I'm just done. You know, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. When someone is feeling that, whether it's with a friendship or a family member or a spouse, it doesn't matter. But they're in that space of they just want to give up on the relationship and get out. And there's no abuse, let's say. It's just the relationship is contentious. It's unsatisfying. What do you say to that person?
I say, well, you're allowed to get out if you want to. So I give them permission first to do what they want to do, which soothes the issue somewhat.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the Course says do not fight the ego, because the ego will fight back. So I say, well, you know, you may indeed be done. I'm willing to go along with that. However, in the meantime, let's look at why you want to leave. Let's look if you're motivated by fear or by love. Let's look at if you've done your spiritual homework and looked inside yourself to see what inside you has created this situation. Let's look and see if you're really honoring your partner, or maybe you've created some negative version of your partner that is debilitating you. So I would invite them through many angles to look at ways that they could actually heal and transform the relationship from within it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, usually you hit on something that they can work on, and they say, okay, well, I guess I need to look at this first, and that's the highest way to do it. And then I say, if you've done your spiritual homework and you're done, then you're done. But your first responsibility is to do your spiritual homework. And then I say, I have two methods I use. I say, I want you to immerse yourself in your fantasy, in your vision of your ideal relationship, the kind of person you like to be with and the energy you like to have and how wonderful it could get. And I said, ask God to create that. I said, however, do not put a name or a face on it.
Right.
Don't say it has to be this other person besides my husband or wife, or don't say it has. Just say, okay, I'm in it for the distance. I want a happy relationship. God, whatever it takes, if this current relationship is capable of becoming a great spiritual relationship, I accept it. Bring it on. Dig in. I'm here. If it's truly not in my best interest or the best interest of my partner to make this a great spiritual relationship, then I'm willing to let it go, and I turn this my entire relationship world over to the Holy Spirit, and I trust that Spirit can organize things for me better than I could ever figure out for myself, and so be it. And so that's a really good prayer. And then the other method I have is, okay, what I want you to do for the next 30 days is to just think little or nothing about what you can get and think a lot of everything about what you can give. And I just want you to juice your partner, validate your partner, thank your partner, love your partner, flow with your partner, be humble with your partner, and just make your highest investment that you can. And, you know, one of my favorite lines of the entire course, which I think about probably more than any other, quote more than any other, is in any situation in which you perceive that something is missing, what is missing is what you're not giving.
Yeah.
Boom. You know, and that usually gets people's attention. So I suggest that people give all you possibly can for 30 days, not from a sacrificial way, but just out of joy and love, and then see what happens. If you've given all you can give and there's still nothing happening, well, there's your answer. But if you've opened your heart and given infinite love and 100% presence, and you might see something different happen. And that's usually a game changer right there.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You know, you just mentioned humility. And I talk a lot about humility. I would love to hear what you say, you know, to really define this in terms of relationships. So you said be humble. Can you say a bit more about that?
Well, the Course says be humble before God and powerful in God. That's a really, really good paradoxical statement to tune in on. But humility does not mean humiliation. It does not mean accepting abuse. It does not mean making yourself small. It means, excuse me, it means to allow God to write on the slate of the relationship what it wants to be. And I sincerely believe that every relationship wants to be something. Some are friendships, some are sexual relationships, some are romantic, some are marriages, some are spiritual partnerships, some are business. I mean, every relationship always wants to be something. And so when you say to Spirit, please show me what this relationship wants to be, and I will accept what that is, that's humility. Now, the flip side is that God wants this relationship to be great. God wants to give you a fabulous relationship. So in humbling yourself, you open to greatness. Your own greatness as a soul, your partner's greatness as a soul, and the relationship's greatness as a relationship. So really stepping back from the ego's demands of how we should be in a relationship or what the relationship should be, and allowing Spirit to fill in the blanks, which makes everything great.
Beautifully said. Yeah. Yeah, it's relationships are so challenging, and they that thing of wanting to give up or not being able to get over a resentment or feeling guilty, it can go on for years and years and years and decades and really plague people. And then the repercussions of that are people feeling unworthy, whether they know it or not, because they're not really being loving in their heart. And it's opening up the heart to really, really love someone unconditionally. And many people don't have a model for it, and they don't love themselves unconditionally, like you were saying before. And because like attracts like, the relationships become pained and challenged. We're trying to get something from someone, like you were talking about giving versus needing to get. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about the understanding, what it really means to give without attachment and not to be dysfunctionally giving.
That's a really good question, isn't it? Well, dysfunctional giving is giving to get. And, you know, any time you have an expectation of something that has to come back because you've given something, you've given from the ego. And the Course says many times in many ways that the true gifts of God only expand when you give them. So any disappointment about what doesn't come back is really ego. And you know that any time the ego is in charge, you're headed over the cliff. So it's really good to check in and say, wow, what was I expecting when I gave? Because I don't want to get stuck in that rut. And I actually had a big lesson in this myself many, many years ago. I had a crush on this girl who worked in a pet shop. This was before my partner. And so I'd go in and talk to her, and we'd chat, and I'd light up, and I thought she liked me too. And so I knew it was her birthday. And so I went out and I bought her this birthday card. And I wrote her a very sweet, poetic little note. And I went into the store and I came up to the counter and I chickened out. And I thought, well, what if she doesn't like this? And what if she puts me down or laughs or whatever? So I stuffed the card under my shirt. And I decided that if she was nice to me and showed some sign of affection, I would give it to her. And if not, I would keep it, basically to avoid being rejected. And so I didn't give it to her. And I walked out of the store, and this voice said, "You hypocrite." It said, "Here you go around teaching people how to live unconditionally, and you're hiding a freaking birthday card under your shirt. Like, what's that all about?" So I decided, just so I wouldn't be ashamed of myself, I went back and I gave her the card. And she was not particularly impressed. She says, "Well, thank you, next customer." It was kind of a buzzkill. And I felt disappointed. And then I walked out of the store. And about a minute later, I felt absolutely exhilarated because I did what I had to do. And the joy of self-expression, the joy of giving somebody a compliment and a kindness, that started to so outshine my need to have her pay attention to me that it was one of the greatest spiritual lessons of my life, that you just put it out there, and sometimes something comes back, and sometimes something doesn't. It doesn't matter. Well, the PS to the story is that I wrote that, and I told this story in one of my lectures a long time ago. And in the audience was a guy named Jack Canfield. And he came up to me after. He said, "That was a great story." He said, can I use it in this new book that we're thinking about putting out called Chicken Soul? So I said, "Yeah, sure." So that book went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. So that girl in the pet store may be a New York Times number one bestseller. So, you know, it came around in a different kind of way. But the point of the story is that when I got over my upset at not being accepted as I wished I had, I realized that I was exhilarated because I'd expressed myself sincerely. And I was not hurt in the least as a result of it.
That is another beautiful story, Alan, because what I hear in that is you loved yourself enough to honor your feelings, to honor your heart. And, you know, it took a little bit of adjustment. You had to address your sense of fear or fear of rejection. And you did. You loved yourself enough to not let the fear control you.
Right.
And you learned, oh, hey, why not? If what you're really expressing is love and you're not trying to just manipulate someone, why not share it? Why not? Why not? Why not? And that kind of expression is such a great act of self-love. And one of the things I hear a lot from people is, how do I love myself? How? People keep saying, I've got to love myself. Okay, well, but what does that really look like? How does that really work? It's not just taking baths, you know, or eating well. It's things like this.
Yeah, yeah. It's stretching, you know. And I do encourage people to start with taking baths and eating well because that builds the muscle that I deserve good things. However, then, as you said, Jennifer, that, you know, at some point you want to stretch beyond your comfort zone and just trust that true love cannot be hurt, that when I'm sincerely, authentically loving myself, then I am in alignment with God's purpose for me. And God would never punish somebody for being in alignment with his or her purpose. So there's a big connect that I had to make that I'm teaching folks now is that, and it comes from the Course lesson, God's will for me is perfect happiness, that being in love with myself and or anybody else is really the will of God. And we have been taught for centuries that, you know, God's will depends on self-beating and flagellation and sacrifice and all those things that make us very small. But really, St. Ignatius, I think he's a Catholic saint, said that the glory of God is humanity fully alive. which means that God's Spirit wants us to be fully alive in our life, including abundance, including physical health, including happy relationships. So we just have to drum it into our little brain that God's will for us is happy, healthy, holy relationships. And anything else is a trick of mind that we've accepted, but we can easily reverse by choosing to believe that God wants us to be happy. Now, that's a big stretch, but, you know, the way you practice it is by doing things that somebody who loved him or herself would do. So if you're thinking about taking a vacation or asking somebody for a date or asking somebody to get married, well, you know, if I love myself, what would I be doing here? And usually the question is to stretch and step out and be who you are. And, you know, once you do that, you're unstoppable. Because the power of love is behind you.
Well said. Very inspiring. And it leads me to a question as we're talking about happy, healed relationships and happiness. Specifically, one of the great delusions that people labor with, and even spiritual students who know better, myself included, it's possible to get deluded into thinking if this relationship is going well, then I'll be happy, or that this person could possibly make me happy. This delusion, it keeps on going and going and going. And, of course, I recently said to someone, yeah, wouldn't it be great if other people could make us happy? If I could make other people happy, I would be the wealthiest person in the world. Because, boy, I would just focus on making everybody happy if I had the power to do that. But so we still get deluded into thinking we're unhappy because of what other people do. I think that's one of the trickiest things in relationships. So if someone is feeling like, how can I be happy when, you know, my son is an addict, or my husband is philandering, or how can I be happy when these are the circumstances?
You have to take your power back from that person, because you own your power of happiness and you've projected it onto that person. I think, you know, you mentioned Abraham. We talked about Abraham's matching energy before. Well, you know, Abraham says that any time that you factor someone else's happiness into yours, you make yourself vulnerable. Because then you have relinquished your right to be happy and said, well, here, pull my strings. You do this, and I smile, you do that, I cry. What kind of... I once had two spiritual teachers that were working together in tandem, and they had a big following. And then they had a falling out. And a lot of people were confused and upset, and I was, because I love both of them. I happened to be sitting with another spiritual teacher, and I mentioned this to him. He says, isn't that interesting? These two people are together, and you're happy, and then they're apart, and you're unhappy. And what if they get together again? Are you going to be happy again? And he said, you've completely given those two people's joining the power of your happiness. Why would you do that? And it was a great lesson, because no one has the power to make us happy or unhappy. All that power is projected and given away. And so I think of the image of a fishing rod, where you just send out the hook and you reel back your power that you've given to them, saying, well, you know, I choose to be happy anyway. You can do this to me, you can't, but I'm not going to waste my hour or my day or my month or my year or my life on what you do. That's disempowering to me, and it gives you undue power that you don't deserve. So this is a turning point for lots of people when they just say, "Well, I'm gonna have a happy day today. I don't care what you do, but I'm gonna have a happy day today." And you know, when happiness becomes more important than dependency on somebody else's behavior, you're there.
And so in the context of relationships, people will actually move into this space of really being incredibly unhappy, but they would rather be incredibly unhappy in the relationship than not have the relationship. And so there's this idea of settling that many people find themselves in. I'd rather have this than nothing. And there's no vision for a happy, healed relationship. And there's a terror of being on their own. And so how can we apply the Course teachings in that situation to be willing to see that actually maybe I could be so much happier if I just let go?
Well, you know, there's this famous line in the Course that says, would you rather be right or happy? Mm-hmm. And we could actually substitute, would you rather stay safe according to how the ego prescribes safety than be happy? So if I were coaching such a person, I would say, you know, what is the reward that you get out of staying in this unhappy relationship, okay? Safety, predictability, financial security. What are you losing by it? Oh, I'm losing my peace. I'm losing my dignity. I'm losing my self-respect. I'm losing my joy. I'm sick, literally sick. Okay, what is your vision of what you'd like to be doing instead? I'd like to be in a happy, healthy relationship. What is your fear of it? Well, I might not be able to take care of myself. I might feel alone. I might feel insecure. What's the best thing that could happen? Oh, I could be taken care of. I could meet someone else. I could feel happy independently. I could get a job that I love. I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and respect myself. So what I try to do in such a situation when I'm coaching people is I go over the pros and cons of staying versus the pros and cons of leaving. Excuse me. And usually we shine more and more light on the pros of leaving, then that becomes more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it takes that willingness to have some faith, in spirit, in faith, in love, and sometimes that's the hardest thing for people to do, is to have trust and have faith. And one of my favorite sections, the most helpful section for me in all of A Course in Miracles, is in the Manual for Teacher, the Characteristics of God's Teachers, in the section on trust. And I wonder if you can talk about when people are in relationships with people who are identified with their ego, and the issue of trust.
Well, in that very section you mentioned, Jennifer, is one of my favorite lines, that, or maybe it's in the text somewhere. It says, trust would settle every problem now. Trust would settle every problem now. I keep coming back to that. Trust would settle every problem now. So, you know, if you trusted that you could work out this relationship, it would settle that problem. If you trusted that you left this relationship, it would settle that problem. We kind of paint ourselves in the corner with ego fears, and we recognize that our back is covered either way, then trust will bear itself to be worthy, prove itself to be worthy. So I often ask people in coaching or seminars, if you were trusting more, how would you be approaching this differently? I say, well, I would communicate with my husband about what's really bothering me, or I would tell him I want to leave, or I would take more time for myself and do my spiritual practice, or I would say no. I had a client who, her husband would come home every night and have several glasses of wine, and he wanted her to join him. And she didn't want to, and she felt guilty about saying no, and she got to the point where she could say, well, I'll just have some tea and with you instead. So it seems like a little thing, but it was actually she had to trust her intuition that having several glasses of wine with him was not really her right place, and he could have it if he wanted. But it wasn't for her. So once again, it comes back to self-love and self-trust and self-honoring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going within and finding trust is so much more powerful than trying to manipulate outer circumstances to make them what you'd rather have them be.
That's a really powerful and beautiful example. And one of the issues I see, though, is people will place their trust in a person who then appears to betray them.
Mm.
And so it's the misuse of trust. So for people who have done that repeatedly, let's say, gosh, I trusted my son over and over and over again. I trusted my wife over and over and over again. Boy, they lied to me. They betrayed me. They, you know, whatever. Can you still have a happy, healed relationship with that person? How does that work?
Well, Reverend Ike used to say that the first time you knock me down, it's your fault. The second time you knock me down, it's my fault. So trust and spirituality does not mean that you put up with abuse. And mm-hmm. sometimes the most spiritual thing to say is, I love you, and this behavior that you're doing now is just not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so can we look at ways to resolve this? Because you're not going to come home drunk every night and beat me. I may put up with this for years, but it ain't happening anymore. And that's kind of an extreme example, but I know a lot of women who've gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really, sometimes humility calls us to step into our power and say, I'm scared to confront this person and say, I set a boundary, but I need to do this. And even though it's scary, I'm going to be humble enough to say, Spirit will empower me if I have this authentic conversation. And then if you do it with the right intentions, it'll work.
It does. It really does work. Yeah. Yeah. The question that's coming to me right now, Alan, is there are many people who are in long-term relationships with someone that they love and they respect, and yet the relationship has gotten, we could say, stale, or it's gotten to a point where it's lackluster and people are kind of just going through the motions and sometimes more like roommates than like partners. And neither one kind of knows what to do, and people kind of give up or just ride the edge of things. Do you have any advice for folks who are in that situation?
Yeah, you would have to assume 100% responsibility for your aliveness or lack thereof in a relationship. You can't blame your partner or a stale relationship for keeping you small. Only you and I have the power to keep ourselves small. And I would come back to that phrase I mentioned earlier. In any situation in which you perceive something is missing, what is missing is what you're not giving. So I would ask such a client, what could you personally do to breathe new life into your relationship? And it could take the form of the individual going out and playing more and playing tennis, or having a vacation, or getting together with girlfriends or whatever, she's a woman. Or it could take the form of sitting down and having a heart-to-heart discussion saying, my beloved, I love you so much, and I'm just concerned that a relationship has gotten stale. You do this and I do this, and we all know what's going to happen. And I'm sorry to say this, but I'm starting to feel a little bored. How about you? Please tell me what's going on with you. I want our relationship to be alive and magnificent like what once was, or better. So let's just be open and share what's up with each of us, and I want to breathe new life into this relationship. Will you work with me on this?
Mm.
And if the person won't, then you breathe new life into the relationship yourself. You breathe life into yourself.
Right.
And then the relationship will mirror it. You may end up breaking up. I don't know. But, you know, the more alive you are, the greater the chance that the relationship will come around to fit your idea of aliveness.
Yeah. I really like that. That's great. I can feel people kind of perking up like, that's a great idea.
May I make one more point on that before
you
go on to me? That sometimes people feel that way because they are giving their partner the power to fulfill them in a certain way that the partner isn't able to do so. So I'm not talking about sexually. That kind of goes deeper. But let's say you want to have a spiritual conversation and your husband won't have it with you. Well, I say to people, well, you know, do you know other people in your life who can have spiritual conversations? Well, yes. Well, Well, why not get that nourishment from them instead of requiring your husband to be that kind of person if he's not? And I said, do you have other things you talk to your husband about? Well, yes. So the idea is that if we open to other options of, you know, no one person, this is a big illusion that people get into, that this one partner is now supposed to fulfill my every need in the universe. Like, he's supposed to be everything to me, she's supposed to be everything to me. And that's just a big illusion. No person can really do that. So it's really fine to cultivate healthy other kinds of relationships that fulfill you in different ways while your partner fulfills you in certain ways. And so you have to be honest about what, don't spend a lot of time trying to make your partner into something he's not. Accept him, love him for who he is, and then enjoy other people for who they are, and you might find fulfillment from many different angles instead of just one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. I know that one of the things that we hear a lot, or at least I do, for years now, I've been talking with men and women who are in long-term marriages, usually, who their spouse is simply not interested in spirituality at all, and they are and the person who's coming to me is saying, you know, I love A Course in Miracles, I love the spiritual teachings, I'm putting so much energy into this, it's so exciting for me, and I just want to be able to share it with my partner, and they could care less. And then there's a huge disappointment and a feeling like, well, if we can't share the love of God together, is this really the person for me?
Yeah. The love of God takes many different forms. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's talking about A Course in Miracles or doing yoga or meditating together. And sometimes it's your husband mowing the lawn or taking out the garbage or making you breakfast or being kind to the kids or supporting you financially. And so there, you know, people get hung up that, oh, you know, my relationship has to be all miracles and all yoga and all that. Well, that's nice if it is. But I've known many couples who one person is way into spirituality and the other just is not into it, but they support the other person who wants to do spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's real love. That's true love. In fact, sometimes people who are not spiritual, quote, are actually more spiritual because they're just living a happy, peaceful, joyous, self-fulfilled life, and they're not going off to seminars and trainings and buying books. So it's just their way of being. And if you could just love the person for who they are instead of thinking they have to do the thing you do, you might have a better relationship.
Right. Yes, definitely. Definitely, and there's so much growth in being able to love someone unconditionally and not feeling like they have to meet your needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That meeting my needs business is really dangerous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not to say, once again, that if somebody's way, way incompatible, then you should stay with them. But you have to give it every chance. I had one of my coach trainees was in a Mormon marriage for many years. She had like five kids, wore the garments, a very, very traditional Mormon family. And then she got into yoga and meditation and spirituality, and her husband resisted at first, but he said, well, if this makes you happy, please do. She came to my coaching retreat, a residential retreat. She never did that before. And last I spoke to her, she made a little altar with Ganesh in her house, and they were doing tantric yoga practices, sexual practices. So it's kind of like he gave her space to be herself, and she gave him space to be himself. She didn't drag him off to retreat or anything, but because they both gave each other space and respected each other's path, eventually they came together in their own unique way. So that's another way this could all turn out.
Exactly. And that's the unconditional love. Because I also have talked to many people who have been in very long-term relationships and who go through a period where there's a sense of disillusionment and do I really want to stay in this relationship? And then there can come the most extraordinary, exceptional wave of love and opening and because you go through a period where you do feel disillusioned, you do feel disconnected, you feel all of that, but you don't give up. And you keep saying, well, love is the thing, the primary thing, and you give it over to spirit, and then it just comes pouring down, the love.
Very well said, yeah. Look at that word disillusionment. I mean, it's the end of an illusion. Are you really sad about that? Do you really, disillusionment is the best thing that could ever happen to you, because it means that you were laboring under illusion, and now that illusion has been dissed. and so I would say to anybody, and this is really good bottom line for a whole conversation, is that if you can just get yourself into the highest loving space you can, whether it's by going out and getting a massage or meditating or taking a trip or communicating more clearly or making love, whatever you need to do with your partner, or without a partner, if you can just get yourself into the highest, most connected, loving space you can, you're going to be in an optimal position to create the best relationship available to you. And your genuine connection to Source will magnetize people and events and circumstances that are genuinely connected to Source, and that will empower you to be genuinely connected to Source. So your only job in relationship is to stay high and happy yourself, and then everything else will revolve around that. This is my promise. This is my prayer. This is I swear this is the way it works.
Yeah, it's true, because like it really does attract like. You become the vibrational match for what you actually desire, rather than what you have been or what you are, the negativity that you're focused on. And we're coming to the end of our time here, Alan. And before we close out, one of the things I'd like to do is to remind people to please check out Alan's beautiful book, A Course in Miracles Made Easy. It has lots of beautiful stories like Alan has told us here, really helpful in terms of that practical application of living A Course in Miracles. And as we are closing too, I would like to let people know we have this event in December. You want to tell, well, I say we, but it's your event. I'm participating in on the Big Island of Hawaii. You want to just tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a 5-day retreat called Miracles in Paradise, in which we will gather and really get to live the course on earth with an open heart and join with like-minded people and just have a week of miracles. And, the whole idea is to go home and bring that miracle consciousness with you, so you lift your entire life up to level that week. I will be the primary in-person presenter. Jennifer will be lovingly Skyping in for a session. We'll also have John Mundy, Judith Whitson, who is the president of the Foundation for Inner Peace, and Larry Glenn, a wonderful miracle teacher. So, so it'll be an extraordinary celebration of miracles and deeper penetrating insight into actually how the Course in Miracles works, and to make it real in your life. So people can go to my website, alancohen.com, and click on the icon, and we'd love to have you join us for a fabulous Hawaiian vacation and A Course in Miracles retreat.
Thank you. And the other thing I would like to point people to is that, like me, I train spiritual counselors. You train coaches in this, and no doubt that you have a whole section in your coaching program on relationship coaching. And so I would love to know how we could tell people how they could learn about your coaching program, and if they're interested in signing up for it, becoming a coach trained by you, and also how to work with your coaches.
Yeah, thank you. They can just go to my website, once again, alancohen.com, A-L-A-N-C-O-H-E-N. And there's an icon on that site that will take you to the coach training page. We have a new session starting January 4th, 2017. We take 18 students. I work with them very intimately. There's personal coaching with me. And you learn lots and lots and lots of very practical tools to either be a life coach or use the coaching skills in your own life. So this is one of my favorite programs because I get to work intimately with this group, and there's such bonding and camaraderie in this group that it changes lives. So we have one or two spaces open up at this point, so if anybody wants to play with me, just go to my website and click on that icon.
Beautiful. And I also would like to make people aware that, like me, you have your own radio show. Your radio show is on Hay House Radio. I was a guest last month on the show. And how long have you been doing that radio show, Alan?
Oh, goodness. It must be like 7 or 8 years now.
So lots of episodes.
And, yeah, and people can get archives. Yeah, they can sign up for archives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then do you have other free offerings on your website?
I do. There are my articles, some of my teleseminars. I did a series called The Course in Miracles Made Easy a while back. That's available in part at least. So there's a whole free section and people can poke around and find what they like. It's all available.
Wonderful. And do you do one-on-one work with people?
I occasionally do. I'm kind of busy, but occasionally if somebody's really sincere and I think I can help them, they can just go to my website and just email my office and we'll see if I'm available. We can set up an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, this has been an extremely rich class. I so appreciate you. We have just covered so many things. And I love the stories that you tell, Alan. It's always a pleasure to be able to join with you and to talk about A Course in Miracles. I am going to say a prayer to close us out. So I'm going to invite everyone to once again place their hand on their heart and take a breath as we move into gratitude. Gratitude for the precious life of Alan Cohen and gratitude for his willingness to do his own work and to keep the altar space of his heart clear to be a loving presence in this world. So grateful and so thankful to consciously partner up and attune to the higher Holy Spirit self, our true identity. So grateful to consciously relinquish all the blocks to love, known and unknown, felt and not felt. We open ourselves to relationship healing in all our relationships. We are willing to have a relationship healing in all directions of time and space and to set ourselves free and everyone else. We are grateful to open our minds to healing inspiration from the Holy Spirit and to be an unconditionally loving presence in our own life, in our own heart, for ourselves and for all of our loved ones. We are grateful to give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit and to simply say yes to having happy, healed relationships. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen.
And so it is. Amen.
Thank you so much, Alan.
I have so loved being with you, Jennifer. It's always a delight to co-create with you. You have such a great consciousness, and we always talk about fun stuff, so I'm happy to be part of this, and I just honor all the great work you're doing here and elsewhere.
Well, back at you. I look forward to our time together in December, and thank you again for sharing your wisdom.
Me too. Much love.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.